Hello, it is 25th of February 2010, and you are listening to Norpod, Merps for Christ. Hello, everyone. I'd like to give you guys a little bit of an update on some things that have been going on with Merps for Christ, and in general with ministries in the Middle East. Lately, as far as with Arabs for Christ goes, we've been seeing an increase in amount of Iranian tourists into Lebanon. Generally, we see a lot in the summer, but in the winter, it's kind of a little bit less common. It's been a very warm winter, being around 60 degrees Fahrenheit right now. It's been very warm, so it's been attracting a lot of tourists to the region. For those of you that are unfamiliar with Arabs for Christ, generally, one of the ministries we do is we run a book table that says free Bibles on it, and different people come to take free Bibles and ask questions. One of the locations where we have one of these tables at, we get a lot of Iranians to the table lately. We've been seeing maybe 30, 40 Iranians sometimes a day come to the table. During the winters, we usually only run the table on weekends, as during the weekdays, there are not enough people out to be able to attract them to the table. So, on the weekends, we've been seeing a large increase in the amount of Iranian interest in coming to the table. We have two main problems with this. things to overcome right now. The main one being, no one inside of the AFC team speaks Farsi. Now, this is a big issue. Iran, their language is Farsi. There are Arabs that live in Iran, but not all Iranians are Arabs. There are quite a few Arabs in southern Iran, and we have been meeting with quite a few of those that come to our table. However, the large majority do not speak Arabic. And so what we need is Farsi materials. Now, this is the problem the main issue is we're having trouble with getting materials for them. As soon as we get them, they're already passed out. We had tried getting a whole New Testament, but they're costing about $7 each. Now, if you can imagine, you know, you're passing out Bibles, $7 each, 10 people, that's $70. I mean, it goes really quick, and we don't really have that much of a budget. And so, anyhow, we ask for you to be praying that the Lord will help us to be able to find new and more innovative ways to be able to get the gospel to them. One thing we are doing right now is we have ordered 10,000 Gospels of John to be printed in Farsi. If you'd like to help contribute to help fund this, that would be really helpful, especially now. Right now, I think we're probably, I mean, at 10,000, I really would love to see it all go out really quickly. I don't know if we'll have 10,000. Maybe it'll go throughout the whole summer, but other materials also would be welcome. For example, chick.com, they have Farsi tracks, Arabic tracks. If you'd like to help buy some of those for us, please go to arabsforchrist.org and get in touch with us. Again, those things would really, really be helpful for us right now. Other things that are going on in Lebanon, right now things are getting really tense. I don't know if you've been watching the news that much lately, but if you've been watching, you probably have noticed a lot of threats been going on. 2006 war, from my point of view, it just came out of nowhere, but this is a lot more saber-rattling, a lot more angry words being spoken, not just in Lebanon to Israel or Hezbollah to Israel, but also Syria to Israel and Iran to Israel, and everyone just yelling at Israel or whatnot. So please be praying for this. I mean, if war breaks out, I mean, it does generate interest for the ministry, but it's very short-lived. During the 2006 war, for example, here in Lebanon, I had tons and tons of people wanting to come out here, but not one single one of them came out. We had a large surge in the amount of people coming to the website for a few months, and then it died out. The majority of these people, I don't know. I mean, maybe they just, you know, they saw the images on television, they thought, oh, I could go be there and I could help. Generally, during the wartime, you can't do too much. You kind of got to hang low. I mean, it doesn't really open the door to the gospel that much. Unfortunately, there was a lot of things that happened directly after the war. A lot of relief agencies came in, a lot of missionaries came in, they passed out food, and then they left. I don't really know if I've met one single person that came to Christ as a result of the crisis of the 2006 war. However, it's a difficult situation. It really does slow the progress of evangelism, and it causes things to be more like. It also causes a lot more of the missionaries, all the foreigners, generally want to leave. I left after 2 weeks after the one in 2006. So we need to be praying for this. We need to be praying that the Lord keeps peace in Lebanon. Missionaries I've been in contact with in the south have been saying how things are getting more and more tense. Now, by that doesn't just mean from the Israelis. That means, for example, more secret police activity from Hezbollah or whatnot that would make it more difficult for them to preach the gospel. Generally, in Shia areas, it's a lot less restricted than Sunni areas in Lebanon. However, I've been hearing more and more of folks that are getting questioned constantly by secret police when they're trying to do evangelism in Shia areas in the south. So we need to be praying for the different groups that are involved in this. We need to be praying for Hezbollah leadership, that they will come to know the Lord. We need to pray for Israeli leadership, they'll come to know the Lord. We need to just pray for repentance on all sides. And we need to pray that the Lord will raise up more workers here. This summer, a large amount of workers are going back to the States and back to their home countries and whatnot, and a lot of, you know, Arab workers here are going to the States and the West to try and raise support. Including one of our own, Jimmy's going to go back to the States to get married. He's getting married, and then he's going back to the States. So we need to be praying that the Lord will raise up more workers here. We're needing more and more folks to get involved to help us with running the book table. As I mentioned before, we usually run it every day on the weekdays during the summer as we can get more people during that time. So please be praying for us that the Lord will provide us with more people and also provide us with financial resources to be able to get the more materials. Right now, before I go on, I want to share with you guys a little recording I heard. It's a YouTube video. You guys might have seen it on the message board. I want to share it with you guys. It's very edifying. May the Lord bless you all.
What if? What if you had a friend who died without knowing Jesus as their personal Savior? What if he or she went to hell? What if one day you received a letter in the mail from beyond? A letter from hell. A letter from your friend in the flames of eternal torment. The following is a dramatic presentation. It was written by a fictitious high school student named Josh to a friend named Zach. Although Zach had every opportunity to tell Josh about Jesus, he didn't. They were best friends. They played soccer together, they went to classes together, they partied together, they shared their lives with each other. But there was one thing Zach held back from Josh. His personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The rest of the story is simple and sad. A few too many beers. A tragic drive home. A crash. A death. A funeral. A letter. Here is that letter in its entirety. A letter from hell. Dear Zach, I died today. It's a lot different than I expected. You see, I always thought dying would bring me into a world that's foggy and hazy. But this place is crystal clear. It's even more real than my life on Earth. I can think. I can talk. I can even feel. Right after the wreck, I could feel my spirit leaving my body. It was the weirdest thing, Zach. I thought I heard you screaming out to me, man. I must have been just imagining things. At first, I was just standing in line, getting registered, I guess. They asked me for my name, and began to look in this thing they called the Book of Life. I guess they couldn't find it, though, because this huge angel standing next to me grabbed me by the arm and started dragging me away. I was terrified. I had no idea what was going on. I asked the angel where he was taking me, but he didn't answer. So I asked him again. Finally, he told me that only those whose names were written in the Book of Life could enter into heaven. And the rest would be condemned to hell forever. Man, I was scared. The angel threw me into some kind of holding cell where I've been sitting and thinking for a long, long time. Do you want to know what I've been thinking about? I've been thinking about you. Zach, you're a Christian. You told me so yourself. I mean, we talked about it 3 different times today. Kelly brought it up, and you laughed it off. Coach Adams brought it up, and you changed the subject. I mean, it came up right before the wreck. Well, the question I can't get out of my mind is this, Zach. Why haven't you ever told me about how to become a Christian? I mean, you say you're my friend. But if you really were, you would have told me about this Jesus and told me how to escape this terrible place that I'm headed for. I can feel my heart pounding in my chest. The angels who have been chosen to cast me into hell are coming down the hallway. I can hear their footsteps. I've heard of this hell, Zach. They call it the Lake of Fire. I can't stand it, Zach. I'm terrified. No, the angels are at the door. Oh, no. No! They're coming in, and they're pointing at me. They're grabbing me and carrying me out of the room. I can already smell the burning sulfur and brimstone. I can see the edge of the cliff where hell burns. This is it. I am without hope. We're coming closer, closer, closer. My heart is bursting with fear. They're holding me over the flames. I'm damned forever. This is it. They have thrown me in. Fire. Pain. Hell. Why, Zach? Why didn't you ever tell me about Jesus? Jesus. Signed. Your friend. Josh.
Your friend.
P.S.
Welcome.
Wish you were here. Wish you were here. Wish you were here. Wish you were here. Wish you were here.
Hello again. Hope you enjoyed that. Oh, I did. Alright, well, there's some other things I wanted to discuss really quick before we close out here. There's some neat gadgets that are coming out that are really kind of helping with the evangels. I just want to mention just 3 right now, though I'm sure there's other ones. If you know of any other ones, please let us know. I think it's good to, you know, to keep innovating and whatnot. The first thing, I'll start with the most simple and less electronic, the EvangiCube. Now, I know the EvangiCube's been around for years and whatnot. I don't know, I've really enjoyed using it. I like using it specifically with it. Here, it seems to draw crowds quickly. I mean, a lot of people say, well, it's not culturally relevant to here and whatnot, but it really draws a crowd quickly, and it allows you to go through the entire gospel. I found myself, a lot of times when I'm trying to do evangelism, people try and change the topic. They might try and change it to something political, for example. Or they'll try and go on some random tangent about the miracles of the Quran or whatnot without you actually getting the chance to share with them the gospel. So, I'd say is definitely the EvangiCube. It's an amazing tool, and it's very helpful, like I said, with getting crowds and preaching the entire gospel through. The second one I want to mention is called the Proclaimer. Now, a Proclaimer is very helpful for a budding new missionary that does not know how to read Arabic yet, and a missionary that's going door to door and needs to preach the gospel, wants to do Bible studies, but it's not quite proficient yet with Arabic. The Proclaimer simply works as it's a small little MP3 device with a very powerful speaker, and you simply choose the chapter you want, and you hit play, and it'll play the chapter all the way through. The translations, they have a very large amount of languages you can get for the Proclaimer. There's a large amount of large amount of languages, as well as translations within each language. I think in Arabic there's 3 translations, and it's a very neat tool. They have a small proclaimer and a larger proclaimer. The larger proclaimer can charge itself by solar, and it's very ideal probably for street preaching, although myself, I haven't gotten to put my hands on a larger one just yet. Now, the last one is the most advanced of them. I only have one here, and it's a Chinese something rather, but I don't think it was necessarily invented for the purposes of evangelism, so I don't even need to say the name of it, just let you guys know it's something out there. There are these little projectors the size of an iPod you can just put in your pocket, and it's a projector. Now, this one that I've been experimenting with here, it's amazing. It's tiny, as small as an iPod, and it holds 2 gigs of videos on there, so I can just load it up with videos and go door to door and show them whatever video I want. It has a very nice little speaker system on there, and so again, people can hear it, they can see it. For myself on it, I've been loading up Zachary Butros episodes and other things. It's really handy. It's tiny. Okay, so moving on. So we have, as I said before, you know, we have all these nice little gizmos and whatnot, but still we find more and more, or less and less, I should say, the gospel is still not being preached in the Middle East, in the Arab world, North Africa, and whatnot. We see lots of organizations all the time talking about this or that, but nothing's happening? I'd like to read with you guys real quick. 2 Corinthians, it says here, 2 Corinthians 8, chapter 1, verse 8. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we'd never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. And you who are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. I want to end this little recording today with a note of encouragement. As we go on to the next day, the next week, and next month, we have all these talks of war possibly breaking out here in Lebanon or other countries. Many of you may be facing threatening situations as a result of persecution. I like what he says here. He says, we were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. I think so many times we think, oh, I'm beyond what I can endure. But it's when we are beyond what we are endure, as he says next, in fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God. Friend, are you relying solely on God? Or are you relying on your own specific plans and what you will do and this and that? I'm not saying it's wrong to plan for the event of whatnot, as I know ourselves with Arabs for Christ, we're currently in the process of making plans for in the event of. However, we need to rely not on ourselves, but on God. We need to take that step. When God gives us a desire to go preach the gospel to our neighbor or to that country that you feel God's calling you to go preach the gospel to, don't rely on yourself. You need to rely solely on him. And it says, and he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. He goes on in verse 11, he says, and you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. May the Lord protect you all, and if you are in a place where you can thank God for your safety, please remember today to pray for those that can. We should thank God all times. I shouldn't say that. But just remember to pray for others. Pray for us here in the Middle East. Pray for those that are in North Africa. Pray for those brothers and sisters that might not see tomorrow. So that many will give thanks to God for Him answering prayers for our safety. May the Lord bless you today. May the Lord remind you to preach the gospel to all of those that can hear it while they're still able. Bless you.
Don't bother me. Don't bother me with souls to save. I have my own agenda. There's school to do, sports to play, important stuff to attend to. Don't bother me with my friend at work. He's got his own religion. I don't have time to change his mind. He'll make his own decision. Don't bother me with that little girl, the girl playing in the street. She's much too young to understand that the Savior she can meet. Don't bother me with the sounds I hear, the sounds of people shrieking. Although I wonder who they are, who are these victims screaming? Don't bother me with who they are. I really don't want the blame. 'Cause it's my friend at work.